Sections of 24, and so they're periods. And so in the periods, there's a center number as well. That's really important, since that number is going to sit there for like over 20 years, right? How important is that? Very. And by the way, just so that you know, we are in a period of eight in the center. Hey, so we really like that. So the period right now is eight in the center, and the incoming period for this next one after 2024, the next one coming in, we're going in the direction, it will be the number nine. Ooh, that's the completion, graduation, celebration. So we are really revving up, and you can feel it. You can feel it in the feng shui. There are also 12 animals in feng shui that sit around a compass. And today is a horse day. And we haven't talked about the horse for a little while. I think we only did one show on the horse yet this year. It's very important that we talk about the south. The south is the direction where the horse lives. And you would, if you were a horse born, the last horse year that we had, we all had, was 2014. And then it goes, you know, if there are 12 animals, what happens? Every 12 years back from that is a horse year as well. So you can do math. I'll do a couple for you. So the next one would be 2002, 1990, 1978, 1966, 1954, 1942, 1930, those ancient horses. So if you're born in any of those years, remember that the feng shui calendar starts in early February sometime. So if you're a January baby, you are not a horse. You're the animal before that. Remember, that's when the feng shui yearly switch has to do more with the moons and the astrological placements than like in the Western world, where we just start on January 1st. I think that's probably for calendar reasons and commerce. Anyway. So the horse has a different animals that are friends, and all the animals have, they're in little groups of three friends, three pals, three buddies, three people that can, of different animals, can really, really bounce on the same vibration and get a lot of things done. And the horse is friends or allies with the tiger, and the dog. Woo-hoo. So these are the three, and they really, really band together. So remember, start asking your, after you find out your feng shui animal, find out your family, your other family members' feng shui animals, and then start with some of your close friends, and you would be surprised if to find out that they are a lot of times these other animals right there, your friends. And there's one other super fun thing that happens to every single one of these 12 animals, and there is one friend of these animals that's called a secret friend. And that is like a whole feng shui practice in itself, because you can use your secret friend to help you, and your secret friend wants to help you. In fact, will help you. And the secret friend for the horse is the sheep, just so you know, if you are a horse person. And this is feng shui. If you were a horse and you wanted to actually get things really going, or maybe your partner is a sheep, you know, things like that, you would bring, if you found out who those people were that were born in the sheep years, you would bring them closer to you and get certain projects done. Yeah? Woo-hoo! Super fun. This is feng shui. And if you would like a feng shui consultation, you wouldn't have to find out all of this stuff. We Pathfinder and I would help you. We will help you. You can contact pathfinder1111@gmail.com, and we will set up a feng shui consultation over the airwaves, or sometimes we come to you in your house. And these days we can see straight through our devices and you can show us stuff. And oh, it's awesome. It is super fun. And it's time for our Feng Shui Fit today. We're going to talk more about using our words to help us in our physical fitness. Remember the times that you see these power lifters lifting up those huge barbells with great big round things on both sides that weigh a ton maybe? And they always have an explosive word. And this helps them. This gives them power when they lift up. And if you ever need more power, more oomph, and in your workout, use the explosive comments and sort of like cheer yourself on. You can really do that. And go ahead and yell for yourself and cheer yourself on. And that is really going to help you if you need to break your barriers. It's okay when you're in the gym, or especially if you're alone training, or, you know, then whatever, go for it. There's just one gym, I think, that doesn't allow you yelling, so watch your signs. Other than that, that's your Feng Shui Fit tip for the day. Talk to yourself out loud like a cheerleader. Really, really invite yourself to go for it. And that's your Feng Shui Fit tip for today. Big powerlifting. Nothing but a peanut. Next, we have self-healing in the fall. Thank goodness, with Pathfinder.
Mahalo, Michiko. It's a nice day over here in the desert. I want to say hello to everyone. Miedo chunku wuksape wuchasha. My name is Pathfinder. Today we're working again with the topic, heal thyself. Brain waves and heart emanations. And I really had to look up that word emanations because I couldn't spell it correctly for anything. It's exactly the right definition for the type of healing energies that can come through the heart that kind of defies explanation, at least by the scientists. You know, the scientists have discovered different types of brain waves. I think there are about four basic categories that they've charted, or frequency ranges that are being emitted from our brain and central nervous system. But the heart stuff is a little bit, and it was more like the job of the mystic. It was more like the job of the healer. It was more like the job of the diplomat and the grandma to understand the ways of the heart, because the thinking of the heart is a more intuitive thinking, whereas the thinking of the mind, the scientists and philosophers and such went towards a more mental or logical, they call it logical way of describing these things. And again, when we get our heart and our head together, we have wings. It says to make sure that there is a balance within our systems and a coordination within our systems, we need to take advice and helpfulness from our brain. We need to take it from our heart. And the heart is a little bit different than emotions. People think, you know, heart, emotions. No, there's a little bit of difference. Because in heart, you have compassion and intuition. In emotions, you have empathy. And it's more like the gut understanding of something. It is a subconscious understanding of how things operate. Now, among the Cherokee, there's an understanding that we weren't just born human, okay? But before we, as a soul, were allowed to enter a human body, first we had to learn lessons from the other kingdoms of life. we had to be a rock. We had to be a plant. We had to be an animal. And in being these different experiences as part of the mineral kingdom, as part of the vegetative kingdom, as part of the animal kingdom, which we still are as humans, part of the animal kingdom, we learned fundamental lessons that needed to be so integrated that they became part of our subconscious and our unconscious. And in this way, there would be a knowledge of how to work with the human DNA so that our medulla and pons and other parts of the back of our brain on the spinal cord could take care of our breathing for us, could take care of our heartbeat for us, could take care of the natural flow of the energy through the body, the chi force. That these things we learned in our instinctual lives before this one, or if that word lives happens to still be an issue for some people, previous experiences before we were allowed to manifest as a human being. Well, actually, manifest as a two-legged on the way to becoming a real person, a human being. So, what is one of the technologies that awakens the heart emanations? What is one of the technologies? Prayer. Prayer that has feeling has power. In fact, Unshimami and some of the other starkeepers of the universal law of perception and the spiritual law of future sight brought out the point that prayer directs the movement of time. Okay, so for there to be brain waves, for there to be electrical and spiritual energies emanating from our chakras, all the many different chakras of our body, it says time must be there. Okay, the time wave is the carrier wave. And so that through prayer, the movement of time is directed. And there is a law that goes with this. There's several, but one of them is, and this was Jesus and the early apostles that were bringing this out. It's kind of very Sermon on the Mount, you know, when they went and sat up there. You must knock on the door for it to be opened. You must ask in order to receive. And these seem very simple. And what they represent is there is a contract, a covenant between us and the heavenlies, and between us and Mother Earth, and between us and our many other relatives, those that we can see and those that we cannot see. And part of that covenant in our particular universe is the operation of love and free will. And the truth is that we like to express ourselves in free will, but the law is really love. So as long as something is working in love, you can send that love in many, many directions. If we try to come from brain constructs, there are much fewer choices that we have in order to express in free will, because the other avenue is divine truth and natural law. And so as long as something is aligned with both divine truth and natural law that are already themselves co-joined, that as long as our choices coming from our imagination and creativity and mental processes is in alignment with divine truth and natural law, these two have great power. And so to utilize our brain waves and in order to utilize the waves of feeling and healing that come from our hearts, we it's we align with the love of the Divine Mother. We align with the truth of the Heavenly Father. And these two currents, the Mother's current and the Father's current, flowing into us, the Mother often seen as flowing into us from underneath our feet, feet to heart to body, and the great lights and frequencies of the universe coming down through the top of our head to our heart and to our hands and then to the rest of our body. This is a divine cycle of life. It is a basic divine cycle of life. And so another technology that helps us to learn how to work with our own brain waves and our own heart emanations is meditation. In fact, there are many kinds of meditation. One type of meditation is to allow our body to reset itself. Within our body, there's a lot of knowledge all throughout. They even have found the brain cells of different kinds throughout our entire body, pretty much, wherever the nervous system and the endocrine system especially kind of co-join, there are actual types of brain cells there. And this is where we're kind of locating ourselves. So our heart has its own brain cells. They just look different, and so they weren't recognized. And so we can think with our heart. If we're thinking with our heart, then in a very certain way, you have basically the same kind of thing as a brain wave, right? Okay, so why are we talking about these things? Because our universe isn't just a physical universe. There are nuances that go into the emotional universe, the mental universe, and then the spiritual universe. And these are layers that are enwrapped in one another, the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And these have a potential, because of a great design that's been placed within nature and within our body, to all four of them combine with what we call our soul in order to birth a real person. Now, they say that the world used to be entirely filled with all the four aspects of ourself, and that at that time we lived in a mystical time zone. This mystical time zone shifted into a historical time zone, and now we're shifting into a post-historical time zone. In other words, what is the effect of the Schumann frequency rising, especially during this adjustment period, so much? What is the effect of the new color and radiation of the sun since we moved into the post-historic time zone? Okay, so we actually started the move about harmonic convergence in 1992. Some of the mystics were describing the passageway, and it was about a 26-year passageway, okay, in order to really move into, there is a new energy coming to us from the sun. In a similar manner, Mother Earth is waking up, and she's, things that she gripped before, she's releasing. And so that would be earthquake, tsunami, volcano. And there are things that she allowed before that she's now holding. And that would be, that mostly has to do with the discipline that we are now required to have in order to interact in harmony with our environment. In other words, as humans, we were given a very long time in physical existence as two-legged, you know, more than 18,000 years, okay? Some say it goes way, way back. The anthropologists say we probably discovered fire about at least 1 million to 5 million years ago. So we've had a long time to practice. And now the Mother Earth herself is choosing to kick up a notch. And it's not just the Mother Earth that's kicking it up a full energy notch. It's our entire solar system. If you will remember, just starting last December, you know, just starting last December, we started to receive these humongous galactic waves that occurred, that first occurred very close to the beginning of our existence, the universe. And these waves just passed through us. The first one was December of last year. And then apparently we've had three others that kind of were all traveling together. And so these cosmic waves washed through us and brought, I don't know what the effect is. I've been trying to research this. But if you have a surfer and you have a big wave coming in from the ocean, if the surfer plays it right, he gets to surf the tunnel, right? But what if somebody's not a good surfer? What is the effect? And so this would be an analogy. Another one is that if you have a boat floating and a giant wave comes through, all of a sudden that boat moves in a faster speed towards the direction of the wave. And if we were headed in a different direction, it would create a friction. Okay, so, and then what are the biological implications? What are the emotional implications, the mental implications, and the spiritual ones? Well, the spiritual implication is that we're being given the opportunity to rise and become one again, because time itself is going to change how it flows, and it might flow more like a circle. You know, you drop a rock into a pond and you see the circle. It may travel more like a circle than as a straight line or vector. So in order to work with the strength of the brain waves, we utilize concentration, and we concentrate on a truth, and we bring that divine truth of protection. We bring that divine truth of harmony. We bring that divine truth of wisdom through us, and that gets transmitted in our brain waves. For our heart, we connect to the center of the earth, and we connect to our own higher power, our understanding of our divine family, and we emanate that love. And then through prayer, we can actually send out and have the angels and other helpers then do their part as well, creating healing, sustaining life.
Mahalo, Pathfinder. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to Aloha Healers Network from around the world. More and more countries are tuning in, and we welcome you all. And we give great big hugs to all of you, from us to you. Let's close Aloha Healers Network with the five Reiki principles. Today, I let go of anger. Today, I let go of worry. Today, I'm thankful and give thanks for my many blessings. Today, I'm kind with honor and respect to all living beings. I do my work honestly.
Thank you.